is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Championship Sunday, to be exact, everybody. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Let's go, people. Next stop, Super Bowl. Bengals, Chiefs, 49ers, Rams, then we'll know how this whole NFL season is going to wrap up. We're going to take you through your DFS, your daily, your DraftKings start sits for each game. A look back at the quarterback position, the top 12 from this fantasy football year, and a projection ahead. Our way too early look to next year. Of course, some little news out of Florida for a pretty good quarterback as well. Show, how you doing?
I am doing well, Andy. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm always doing well on, you know, Championship Sunday, as you mentioned. We get to find out who goes to the Super Bowl. And I'm always also doing well when we get to do these shows on Sunday mornings following nights where both the Leafs and Raptors win. Oh, baby. I feel it makes it even sweeter, Andy. The Leafs score five goals in the third period. Raptors win in triple overtime down in Miami. So, yes, please. Sign me up for some more football, more sports today.
Nothing like regular season triple overtime. Yeah.
Andy, every Raptors starter played over 50 minutes last night. They were at the end of that game, they probably all were just like, please, God, make it stop.
Anybody win. See, I think of it from like the work standpoint, show, and it depends on the role you have in the broadcast surrounding it. Like if there is a post-game show, you hate triple overtime in the regular season because it means you have to stay up way later. If there's a situation where you end based on the game going longer, get to go home, then you cheer for that. It all becomes selfish when you're in this business. Civilians don't necessarily understand that.
I think that actually last night's game was with E and Jonesy, Eric and Paul on the Fan. It was right here on the station. And I could only think of, right after the game ended, all I could think of was Eric, like, massaging his throat, being like, okay, so I'm going to go home. I'm not going to talk to my wife or kids. I'm just going to go straight to bed. And yeah, won't talk to anyone for the next 24 hours because the pipes need to get a little bit rested. It does remind me of a couple times because I totally feel you. As someone who has produced many Raptors games, Leafs games, Blue Jays games here on the station, whenever games, I remember once there was a Blue Jays game that like the Jays were playing, I think in Los Angeles, they were playing at the Angels. So the game already started at like 10 p.m. Eastern. And the game went like 16 innings. And all I could think of was, I remember there was a point in the game where Mike Trout came up to bat. And it was like in this 15th inning or something. And it was the bottom of the 15th inning. And of course, because the game was in Los Angeles, all I could think of was I was sitting in the newsroom at the Rogers building. And all I could think of was, if Mike Trout hits a home run here and he walks it off, I love the Blue Jays more than a lot of teams, but I will buy his jersey so I can go home right now.
Just go home. No one's, at that time, no one's watching it on the East Coast, the middle of the season game. It's ridiculous. Oh, ridiculous. Show, how about the, I'm not even quite sure what to call it, like a half sort of retirement that was then recanted and not official, but probably is going to happen and then may not, but likely will. Is that where we're at with Tom Brady? Tommy Terrific. Adam Schefter reports he's done. Then his dad's like, no. And then some people are like, yeah, he probably is. It's like, but okay, so we're back to not knowing again. Is that where we've finished? Like,
Rick Stroud, who I guess is like one of the like the writers down in Tampa Bay for one of the like the Tampa news outlets. Yeah, he also said he reached out to the Tampa GM and the GM had not heard back yet. So, or he had heard and he explicitly said he hasn't retired yet. So, I guess that's where we are. Here's my guess. This is what I guess my guess happened is that he is retiring. But you know, because if there's one thing I've learned about Tom Brady, especially over the last like 6 to 8 years, let's say, is that he has a very good social media team. He's a very good social media team, right? Like he, I think he has some good, you know, every now and again, some good instincts, but Do you remember, like, for example, last offseason, when it was that video of him, like, throwing a football into, like, the machine that, like, shoots footballs out? Remember that video?
Yeah, right.
So, like, obviously that's, like, not a real video, right? But, like, he had a team of social media experts, like, mock that thing up for him. And, you know, when the Super Bowl, they had this, like, hype reel, like, with the Bucks, they had this hype reel come out. And I don't know. He's a very good social media team. So, honestly, truly, my guess is that the finishing touches are being put on his career-long retirement YouTube video. And once it's out, he'll say, all right, he's going to personally announce that he's retiring, and then that's it. But I think that's really the only reason why, like, maybe they jumped the gun a little bit, but that's really the only reason why it's not official.
Oh, he's probably like, no, I'm doing it on my stage. I'm doing it on my attention. You know, I could see it maybe during Pro Bowl weekend with the week off before the Super Bowl. You know, like, he wants the stage, and he should. He should. He's won the most championships. At 44 years old, he threw for the most touchdowns, threw for the most passing yards. The man deserves his own spotlight. If I was Tom Shaw, I'd go full heel move right before kickoff of the Super Bowl. Moment as the coin toss happens, I'm retiring. Oh, and just cause pure chaos. Make it all about Tom.
That'd be so good. I would. You know what? I said on Twitter yesterday when like the news first broke that I respected that he didn't do the retirement tour, because I think that, like, I do enjoy it to a certain degree for certain athletes, but it does kind of feel to me like Tom Brady, like, he, you know, just walking away into the sunset without any, you know, big hoopla. I kind of like that. If he releases a video, whatever, it's not a big deal. It's not the same thing as going, you know, being applauded by every stadium for 17 games or whatever, right? But I do think, chaos wise, it would be just hilarious to upstage, like, the first, just to stick it to Goodell, just the very end of this, when they can't do anything to him anymore. I think I would personally love that.
I want, like, LA, you know, lowering from the ceiling, you know, just like church music and light shining on him. He's in a robe, and it's just, like, made just ridiculous, over the top. The icon Brady lowering from the season, just from the ceiling, just to take away all the attention. He'll do it in his way. I'm honestly so shocked. I thought for sure the way Tom Brady seems to be built mentally, and the fact that, good Lord, he's still playing his best football. I am shocked he is actually retiring or going to retire. I felt for sure he would go the route that so many others did, the Michael Jordan route, right? Where the greatest of all time need to feel it for themselves show that they're done. And that wasn't Michael Jordan Bulls after championship number 6. That was Michael Jordan Wizards when it was, you know, not great, right? Not as fun to watch. I remember seeing, like, the first time I saw Michael Jordan in person was at, like, a Raptors game when they played the Wizards. And I, you know, obviously, following the sport, I knew he wasn't the same guy. But you still sort of felt that magic of, like, oh, I'm going to see Michael Jordan. And then you sound like, oh, he's just a guy. It's not that great at all. I thought that's what we get out of Tom.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night, too. Like, I feel like, just as someone who is, you know, like, everyone who listens to the radio station, anyone who listens to a sports talk radio station are obviously, like, hardcore sports fans, I would say, to begin with, right? And I just feel like, for me, since I have been, you know, just consuming sports as an adult, none of the all-time greats have retired. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it was just before that where Michael Jordan retired, and certainly Wayne Gretzky much before that, and so on and so forth. And certainly there are, like, Blue Jays greats who have retired. But when it comes to, like, an all-time, you know, like, a completely unanimous GOAT of the sport in Tom Brady, I feel like it was interesting to watch all the reaction come in last night, mm-hmm. or yesterday afternoon, I suppose, because I suppose the other half of it, too, is when Jordan retired and Gretzky retired and so on, social media didn't really exist, right? So to see the various like tributes and people's thoughts kind of come in like a stream of consciousness, which is what Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and so on are. So it was just kind of interesting to see like all the graphics that the social media teams at the various media companies, like Sportsnet had a whole bunch, and Tim and Friends had a whole bunch, and all of the competitors and all the national media down in the United States had them as well, right? It was just, I gotta say, it was fascinating to not only watch them post all the tributes and post like what people remember about Tom Brady, but then also how they reacted when it was like, oh, he's not actually retiring. It's pretty funny.
Not yet. And the thing is, when it comes from like Adam Schefter and like Ian Rappaport are the go-to guys when it comes to news. And you have to make sure it's not the fake one, you know. Before I looked, I was like, okay, retire. And then I looked, okay, is there a blue check mark? Is it like Schefter with like three Fs or something
Adam Schefter.
That? Yeah, it's like, okay. And it was real. So it's all right. Like, there's not too many misses. And I guess if you're Adam Schefter, because Rappaport or any of the other guys didn't report it right away, I guess if you get that hint, you're like, you know what? I'm going to err on the side of being first. You know, that's what that whole bit. That insider business show just seems exhausting. I would never want to be an insider. That seems terribly all the time. You got to be checking phones. You got to be putting stuff. Oh, that seems like such a chore. But Schefter was there, and it's not that he's necessarily wrong. It just wasn't official right then. And I guess it gives time for everybody, if they hadn't already, all the media outlets to have their tributes ready to go. Sort of like the, you know, if you have a really old celebrity. You know, we all were rooting for Betty White to get to 100, but you had the material prepared in case it didn't happen, the tribute stuff ready to go. Same with Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady is not like, you know, not going to be not dying, essentially.
You know, his
right?
career, but... his career, you have the career stuff already, right?
Right.
Tom Brady, his TB12, that guy's going to, I don't know, I think that guy could play for another decade of how he looked. He didn't slow down at all, show.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I was kind of having this debate as to like what Tom Brady will do in his post-playing career with some people on social media. And I think a lot of people were like, he's going to go into the media. He's going to be a head coach someday. He may not be an analyst, but he'll be a head coach, or he'll be a quarterback's coach or something like that. And while I could see that, I don't disagree that he's like a maniacal, competitive, you know, quarterback who wants to constantly be involved with the game of football. I do think that. But at the same time, remember he founded his TB12 like sports like health company or whatever, right? And I have a feeling once Tom Brady retires, much like there are some players who retire and then you just like never really hear from them again. I think you will hear from Brady because he's the kind of guy who's been in movies and TV shows and tons of commercials and so on. But the TB12 business, I bet, is what he'll just completely disappear himself into. Like
immerse,
you won't, it's not like he'll never hear from him again, but you know, he'll be recruiting athletes to the TB12 brand and building it as like its own thing. Because I mean, look, they have a book, which full disclosure, I own. And
TB12 book.
I do. Yeah, my mom got it for me for Christmas a couple of years ago, and I read that thing from cover to cover. And I kind of thought to myself, like, I remember thinking to myself, like, it was kind of out there, right? Like,
are you living by the TB12 code there, sure? You're having avocado ice cream and no, you know, super weird goat milk or whatever he's doing?
Andy, the thing, the book, like one of the primary things the book says is to, not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read it, but it says primarily to just drink like, it's like drink 18 cups of water a day. And you're like, what human being drinks that much water every day? Like, I'm the kind of person, Andy, who, I think you know this about me. I love my fast food, and specifically, I love to drink Coca-Cola. And I don't think I could live by the TB12 method without breaking down, like within 48 hours, to just crack open a nice cold can of Coke.
Coca-Cola, great to build kidney stones over the long term, show. for that sweet, sweet taste, that cold, refreshing. We can get him on as a sponsor.
Oh,
we'll have like the cracking of the Coke sound for like our hot takes. It's like, ooh, our Coke take of the week.
Andy, I would without a doubt turn heel on you and everyone else, the fan, if I get Coke as a personal sponsor. I wouldn't even hesitate. It's no question. No question.
I would accept it. I would accept the heel turn. I'd be like, I understand. I would do the same. You'd just be like the Barney from The Simpsons. My veins.
Yes.
All this, that sweet, sweet nectar right into your bloodstream. Mmm. I will say, I have not read the TB12 book because I think correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of it too seems like, okay, you could do this diet if you have like professional chefs making it for you because of the time it would take and, you know, are rich to buy all the super organic farm-fed stuff. Is that sort of on point a little bit? You know, it's not necessarily for the everyday if you're in a rush, if you're a normal person who has to rush to work every day.
It definitely focuses on like eating healthy and drinking tons of water and yeah, like eating chicken instead of beef or, you know, like eating less fast food or eating more fruits, but don't eat these kinds of fruits, right? It's definitely like a very specific diet, which not the average person, like I would imagine has a tough time adhering to it, let's put it that way, I think on a regular basis.
I'll say this. I enjoy a good chicken meal as good as the next guy, but I'll be damned if I'm giving up steak, show. Too bad, Tom. Not this guy. And I will say this. I do try to do the tons of glasses of water a day. I drink a ton of water. So I don't know. I don't keep track. But, oh, yeah, I wake up. I have a regimen, folks. This is what you should do, okay? And you don't have to buy the book for it. I'll save you the $40, whatever it is. In the morning, I get a big old glass of water. Wake up first thing, chug a big glass of water. Then I take my organic oregano oil. I do 5 drops of my orange juice, mix it up. A couple hours later, take a multivitamin. Drink tons of water during the day. Then before bed, another giant glass of water. Now, the caveat is you will be peeing a lot. A lot. However, I will say it does make you feel cleaner. I find it clears the cobwebs in the morning more quicker and all that. So there is something to the water.
Well, you know, and you know what, people, if you follow that diet, you too can look like Andy McNamara, who has the disposition, right, the bodily disposition of like a very lanky spider. It's very nice. Like, you know, just get it.
Hey, lean and mean, baby. This is premeditated, show. This doesn't happen by accident.
Apparently.
But in any case, Tom Brady, not quite done yet, but probably is. And, you know, we know how great his career has been, show, and just like the fact that he came so close to yet another epic comeback, right? Like last weekend, let's go over it. Like it was that finish to the Kansas City Buffalo game. We've all had a week to digest it. And I try, show, not to do the recency bias of like, that was the greatest thing ever because you just saw it. So it's the greatest thing you've seen that day. But looking back, I'm like, has there been a better, more exciting, more unpredictable fourth quarter and then bleeding into overtime? So finish to a game in NFL playoff history. I kept racking my brain. The answer, show, I think, is quite honestly, no. That was the best football for Bills Chiefs that I've ever seen. Fourth quarter, then that overtime. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that whole weekend was just one-upped, essentially, by the very next game, right? Like, the very first game of the weekend was Bengals-Raiders, and, you know, Tannehill throws, Bengals-Raiders. Bengals-Titans, yeah. Tannehill throws the 3 interceptions, including one on the final Titans drive of the game, and Burrow drives them into field goal range. McPherson drills the field goal, and there was that quote where Burrow says to the media that he took a practice kick right before he went out to kick the field goal, and he said, well, I guess we're going to the conference championship game, right? Which is just, imagine awesome. Having those stones as a kicker. Certainly, and then that game was followed up by 49ers at Packers, and of course, the Packers offense being held to essentially 3 points, right, the entire game. The likely MVP of the NFL being held to 3 points, and maybe now that was that his last game in Green Bay? Was that Devontae Adams' last game in Green Bay? He's a free agent as well. I think those are all valid questions to ask. And then we're talking about Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady, we didn't know if he was going to be coming back next year for sure. But that news seemed to get stronger and stronger. And then they were down 27-3. All of the Falcons Super Bowls jokes started coming back out of the woodwork. And here, I have this clip for you, Andy. I was going to play this kind of, we were going to play this more if Tom Brady had officially retired. We'll save the rest of the clips for when he does actually officially retire, but I want to play this one. It's just crazy to think that this throw could be the final pass of Brady's career. This was the touchdown to Mike Evans.
Little this time, wide to the left. Brady looking the other way. Brady going deep down the right sideline for Evans. He makes the catch. He's in for the score. Covered by Ramsey. But he got free, and Brady put it right on the money for 55 yards.
That's like, that is just, wow. It was a remarkable throw, Andy. But it's just funny to me because that completed the comeback. The game was now knotted up, or it was about to be knotted up, I want to say. And Mike Evans, considering that was the last touchdown, maybe the last touchdown throw of Brady's career, I don't know if you remember this, but right after he caught that touchdown, he chucked that ball into the crowd like it was a baseball. Like he yeeted that ball like as far as he humanly possibly could. And all I could think of in the moment was, boy, that is Tom Brady's last touchdown. Where is that football right now? Like, who has that football right now? That football is probably worth a very pretty penny is all I could think of.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. That's a good point. Yeah, who has that? Who has that ball? But yeah, like, so 24 points in the second half. And that's what, you know, like, do people not learn? It's like 27. Oh, the Bucs are done. It's like, really? Like, you don't see what's going to happen. We've seen, I wasn't nervous. Like, it came back and they just fell short by the field goal. Like, just there. The Rams did everything. And that's what I mean. So, like, hey, listen, the Rams put up. I put up a 27-3 lead. This is a talented team. We know that. But there's just something missing there. I don't know if it's the... Now, the killer instinct, you got the win. Doesn't matter. Brady's won plenty of games himself, and at times Super Bowls, where it has not been pretty, either for himself or his offense. But you get it done, and at the end of the day, who cares? You got the W. I just don't have a whole lot of confidence in the Rams overall. And Brady was right there. And you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Remember I was saying, show leading up, that there's nothing you can point to during the regular season. There's nothing you can point to say, this is why the Packers won't win. This is why Aaron Rodgers won't come through. But somehow it happens, and it seems to always happen. And the 49ers have had their number. And Aaron Rodgers, the whiniest, most talented quarterback we've seen, is he just didn't do it. And you can't say he's not clutch because he has won a Super Bowl. So he has won it all. But it just seems there's always something missing. And it happened again to Green Bay at home.
Yeah, I can't quite wrap my mind around it. I put a preseason bet on Rodgers to repeat as NFL MVP, and I got decent odds on it. So I'll take my money for the bet if that's that's what ends up happening. But yeah, I think we have seen the last of Rodgers in Green Bay. I do think that he's going to move on somewhere else. And it's funny that it makes me think that like the entire weekend was defined by just sublime quarterback play or really bad quarterback play, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in that 49ers-Packers matchup, Jimmy G and Rodgers, neither of them were... I mean, the defense has played very well. Kudos to both the defensive units for Packers-49ers. But, you know, neither quarterback played that great, it felt like, even though Jimmy G did execute, you know, down the stretch. But still, it wasn't like any particularly inspiring play by either guy.
No.
And then you went basically over to Sunday's games, and you had, I know Brady, you know, he was struggled a little bit in the first half, but he was very good in the second half. Stafford, I think he threw for the most yardage he had thrown all season, which is pretty great, right? He had the 70-yard TD to Cooper Kupp early on, I think in the second quarter. And then I don't know what more you could possibly say about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like, those two guys are just, I don't know. Like, I was talking about this the other night. Like, to think that in the AFC alone, the young quarterback list of, let's say, Allen, Mahomes, you add in Justin Herbert in there, who didn't make the playoffs, but still, you add in maybe Joe Burrow as well, and maybe just to round it out to five, you add in Lamar Jackson, but just
Baker
because
Mayfield,
of his youth.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, of course, yeah,
right?
Baker, yeah.
But like, yeah, like that, just like in the AFC alone, that is five super talented young guys who are going to be around for the next, like, what, 15 years, you would imagine? It's crazy.
Well, and then you think the possibility of, does Trevor Lawrence get better with a non-insane head coach? You know, Mac Jones, right? There's those peripheral guys too that are sort of coming up. The one thing too, and this is head coach hiring season. We see all the time, like so-and-so interviewing this and that for head coaching or coordinator vacancies. The Packers have now lost their offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, furthering the idea that Rodgers will be out in Green Bay. But this is what I don't understand. Like, oh, Denver's going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not sure if Aaron Rodgers has a no-trade clause, but let's be honest. If he doesn't want to go, he'll just tell them, and like, you probably shouldn't trade for me. Why would he want to go, show, to the AFC West? Because if you go to the AFC West, Aaron Rodgers, 38 years old, you got what? 1-2 years left, maybe, you know, depending how much. He might be done right now. But you got that limited time left. You want to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in the same division where you probably won't win the division and you'll be battling for a wild card spot. Or you stay in the NFC North where you will win the division. You will win the division. It's not if, you're going to win the division. Why would you leave, or why would you go to that particular spot in the AFC West? It makes no sense to me, with that limited time left, why you would put yourself in the most difficult position and division in football as a quarterback.
Well, I 100% agree with you. I would like to see it, like, from a fan perspective. I would like to see, Mahomes, Rodgers, Herbert face off twice a year each, essentially. But I do agree with you. Why, like, if you're looking for the best path to a Super Bowl, that's why you demand to be traded to the AFC North and you become a Pittsburgh Steeler, Andy. You have the ready-made weapons
with
Deontay Johnson. Maybe Juju stays around because he gets to play with Rodgers. You have a very talented defense with Minka Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt. You still have Mike Tomlin there as a great head coach. I know the GM, Kevin Colbert, is stepping down, but does that really matter at this point with the team ready-made just for a good, talented quarterback? Man, Andy, if you're ruling out Denver, Pittsburgh is the place you got. But you know what's funny? I'll say this, Andy. If you're not going to Pittsburgh or Denver, honestly, the other place he should go is Cleveland. It's where he should go. Like, he'll have Nick Chubb. I mean, maybe the wide receivers get a bit of an upgrade somewhere along the line, but I mean, that's really the only thing. He has a great offensive line, great defensive line, great running backs, great defensive unit generally speaking. If it's not Pittsburgh or Denver, I actually wouldn't mind seeing him play in Cleveland, honestly.
I feel at this point in Aaron Rodgers' career, and I'll quote Ricky Bobby, "Don't you put that evil on me, show. Don't you do that." I do not want him in Pittsburgh. I would think if you're that age, it's kind of the retirement thing. Like, Tom Brady went from cold New England to warm Tampa. Like, I would think he would try to, like, move to a warmer climate. But
Miami?
The fits are so weird because there are so many teams that need quarterbacks, but there's so few that make a whole lot of sense for Aaron Rodgers to go to at this stage in his career. You know, like, there's not that many dots that make sense, while so many teams actually need upgrades and there's so few options. Russell Wilson, we've talked about, we'll get to all that through the offseason as well. You know, it's crazy. And let's look here, folks. Now, I hope Tampa Bay has a bit of a backup plan before that Brady news and they didn't catch him off guard. Because, show, you go from a division champion, a Super Bowl contender, to, as of right now, Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask. Oh, my. Oh, and Gronk's retiring, too. You bet your butt on that. He's gone. Yeah. He's going back to WWE. He'll be wrestling soon enough. So you will go from that to a bottom feeder in a heartbeat. What's the backup plan for Tampa Bay? Is that a spot for Aaron Rodgers, show? Imagine if you go to Tom Brady retiring to bringing in Aaron Rodgers with the window that they have open still. How wild would that be?
That would be pretty cool. It'd be cool from, like, again, a neutral chaos perspective. Yeah, I think it would be fun from that perspective, but yeah, I think if you're an NFC South fan, especially, like, if you're a fan of an NFC South team that is not in Tampa Bay, right? If you're like a Saints fan, as after Sean Payton kind of apparently hung him up, now a Panthers fan, right? Like, you look at that and you think to yourself, Falcons as well. You think to yourself, hey, maybe Brady retiring, or our division is wide open. It's wide open now. And then Rodgers comes in, and you're like, ooh, not great. Not great.
If Aaron Rodgers does not go there, and Tampa Bay goes to, like, I'm sure they'll get somebody better than Blaine freaking Gabbert or Kyle Trask. But that goes from the one of the most exciting, not divisions, but like look-ins with the Tampa Bay Tom Brady situation, to show I think might be the worst division in football, unless Aaron Rodgers leaves. And then you could have the two worst divisions in football being the NFC North and the NFC South. Because what else are you looking at in the NFC South? That is garbage. That is a garbage division without Tom Brady right now. There's nothing there.
Jameis Winston will lead the Saints to the promised land, and Byron Leftwich will be their head coach. Ooh, sign me up for that.
Fantasy poison show. All NFC South. NFC South. Okay, let's take the break. When we come back, and in the second hour, we're going to take you through our fantasy football start sets for the two conference championship games. Today, we'll have our DraftKings Listener League. We'll send out the link to that. Had some great participation in that last week. Get a chance to play against us. We'll give our DFS lineups too. But we've been talking a lot about quarterbacks. So what we're going to do is look back at our preseason quarterback predictions, as well as the top 12 from this year. And a little bit of a look ahead to what could be in the 2022 NFL season from a fantasy football perspective. So stay tuned to that. I'm Andy, that show. You're listening to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're back and rolling on The Fantasy Show Championship Sunday edition. I'm Andy McNamara. That is Show Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. People's text line always open. 590-590, name and location. Let us know your predictions for Kansas City versus Cincinnati and the Rams versus the 49ers. Let us know your predictions. Do you have any fantasy football questions? Of course, hit us up there. We are going to have our DFS starts, sits, lineups, contrarian plays, and our DraftKings Listener League as well. We'll tell you where you can play versus us in a little bit. But, Joe, we talked a lot about Tom Brady. I have NFL Network on in the background, and it has, like, at the bottom, it's like, breaking news, Ian Rappaport says that Tom Brady's planning to retire. Like, that's not, I don't know what the time limit is on breaking news, but I think that's a little old, Ian. Yes, we realize that that's a possibility since yesterday afternoon. Not really breaking.
Yeah, well, I feel like it stops becoming breaking when he explicitly says he's not retiring, right? So
it's always breaking.
Yeah, I guess.
Can we have breaking news too? Mm-hmm. Show? Tom Brady might retire! Dun-dun-dun, and then have like a alarm sound or something?
Yeah, the news stinger or whatever, yeah.
Breaking news. From Anchorman, Panda Watch.
Have you ever seen Anchorman 2?
Yes.
It is a.
I love Anchorman. It's not as
good. But yeah, I was gonna say, the second one is not good. It is a bad movie, I think.
I just desperately wanted to see Ron Burgundy and the gang back together again, that I accepted it for what it was. Yeah.
All right,
not as good. Not as good. But the Anchorman, I have like the DVD deluxe set, whatever, for number one, and they have all. They had like there was so much extra footage. They created like sort of a side mini movie from it with like some alternative twists and stuff. It was very cool. It's on like some, I forget, I don't even know if my DVD player works anymore, but I don't even know if I could watch it. But like it was great. There was just so much extra stuff there. But yeah, Anchorman 2 wasn't great.
I'll say this, everyone, if you don't know Andy, he is essentially Ron Burgundy in real life. He is Ron Burgundy in real life. He will read whatever is put in front of him, you know, like in that point in the movie where he goes, like where Will Ferrell goes, "I'm Ron Burgundy," and they're like, "Hey, who put a question mark on the teleprompter?" That is Andy to a T.
A sip of coffee. I don't believe you. That's right. Maybe the last show I'll do the go bleep your. No. That's how we'll finish it. That's all right off into the sunset one day, but not today. Let's get into our quarterback look. So we'll get into our fantasy football start sets for the games today. But with so much QB talk with Tom Brady, with Aaron Rodgers' future, Russell Wilson, don't forget, he's up in the air and all that, right, Joe? Like, let's look back at the top fantasy quarterbacks, the top 12 in most leagues, 12-team leagues, top 12 there, and then compare it to our preseason predictions and how we thought that would play out, okay?
Yeah, sounds good to me, man. Let's do it.
So let's see from this year's, and I'll do, I got my article up that was on sportsnet.ca back on July 26, 2021. We thought, yeah, COVID thing, that's almost in the books, right? Not so fast. Anyway, we look at back at the quarterbacks, and I predicted, show, Josh Allen would be the number one quarterback. People said, Andy, you're crazy. No, they didn't. They said that very well could happen. That wasn't necessarily yeah,
that's very
take.
Likely. That's what they said.
That could happen. That is not a hot take, but I was right. And Josh Allen was the number one fantasy quarterback over number two, who was Justin Herbert, who showed, you know, kind of shocking that with all the success and the pieces that the Chargers had around them, did not make the playoffs. And that just, again, shows how tough that AFC West division is.
So let's see. You and I both had, you had Herbert as your sixth quarterback, and I had Herbert as my ninth quarterback. But yeah, him finishing at two, I think, hey, that is remarkable. He is so talented. It's funny too, right? Because you look at the points, like the points differentiation, let's say, over the various games, and like there's some, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but there were a couple of games or a couple of weeks where like he would alternate between getting you, especially like, in the middle of the season, like beginning to the middle of the season, right? And he would alternate between getting like just over 10 points, it felt like, and like, and then the very next game he'd get like 35 points, and then the next game he'd get like 11 points or 12 points, and then the next game he'd get 28 points, right? And I just, it was just funny how that happened. And then towards the end of the season, it was a little more consistently in the like 19 to 22 range, which is what you want out of your number one quarterback at the very least, right? So, I'm not knocking him whatsoever. It's just, I think it did take a little bit of time for him to kind of become the more regular fantasy presence. But hey, Justin Herbert,
coach and all that.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? That totally makes sense. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing where he gets drafted next year. Like, I think it's safe to say when you and I do these, our preseason rankings, like official preseason rankings in like August, let's say, I have a feeling that both of us will likely have Herbert in the top five.
I think you have to. And yeah, he was like just outside the cusp of that for me. I thought, you know, again, new head coach, maybe takes a little bit of a step back. And like you said, the inconsistencies, but to finish number two, we could very well see this same 1-2 next year. What we won't see, according to multiple reports, is our number three finisher, and that's Tom Brady. Show 44 years old, and the guy finishes in the top three. If you're going to ride out on top and it can't be with a championship, dude's doing it the right way.
Yeah, you and I both had Brady in our preseason rankings, like kind of towards the end of the top 12. You had him at the 11th spot, and I had him I had him at the 13th spot. Just because, ooh. And I remember saying this, I'll own up to this. I said that I didn't think Brady would finish that high only because he doesn't run the football, which is why I had a lot of like the rushing quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Russell Wilson to a degree and Lamar Jackson and so on much higher than Brady, because I was like, ah, the old man, the statue back there, he doesn't move around. Yeah. Well, made me look silly, because the guy basically was at worst the second best quarterback when it comes to, you know, MVP voting likely this season, right? And number three. But it's funny because that's going to leave a huge gap. Mm-hmm. Let's say he does retire, that's going to leave a massive gap in the fantasy rankings, and I mean, it's going to have reverberations out to like guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and so on as well. But as far as the quarterback rankings go, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, number four this year was Patrick Mahomes. Will Patrick Mahomes start strong next year and retake a top three spot? I think it's pretty likely, but you never really know, right?
Well, they had that month-long funk during the season. And that's the thing. It's tough to be really good for a really long time.
Yeah.
And that's what the Chiefs have been. Like, you have to think of it from the human aspect as well, show. You've been so good. You get everybody's best shot. Everybody wants, the spotlight's always on Kansas City. Everybody elevates their game to try to take you out. That's got to be exhausting. And you have to be like, okay, it's week eight. We know we're probably going to, you know, deep in the playoffs or Super Bowl. How do you stay motivated? Well, that's why you get paid $500 million to stay motivated. But there's that aspect to it. And he went in that little lull. So could Mahomes, I sort of feel Mahomes might be right around this 4-5 spot again next year, show. Maybe a little lull and then comes back. Certainly somebody you want on your fantasy team. He averaged just over 22 fantasy points a game. I'm not going to say no to that. But as far as like reaching for him or like those, who's that first quarterback that you lunge at to take at in the third round, which is way too early. I don't see Patrick Mahomes as that guy for me next year.
Well, it's funny, right? Because I think some people might agree with you. And let's say Mahomes doesn't get drafted. You know, maybe let's say an Allen or a Herbert gets drafted over him next season. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Mahomes does get drafted, right? Because I think if he falls even a little bit, we talk about this a lot, like return on your investment when it comes to like draft position, right? And if Mahomes starts getting drafted in the fourth or the fifth round, I think honestly that is tremendous value for someone like Mahomes, given you know what the ceiling is like. I have a feeling come the preseason things might normalize a little bit, and he may not be the first quarterback off the board, but he's probably going to be like the second quarterback more than likely off the board. And I'm not going to quibble too much with that. It's just I think if he starts to slide and you don't pick him, he's going to be a great value for someone who does.
Well, I think again it depends on. All right, Tom Brady is going to be gone. The Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson factor. Like, then you got to bump everybody up, right? You got to start bumping up. And when we look at number five, Matthew Stafford, out to L.A. And I had him on one of my fantasy teams, and he paid off well for most of the year, except for in crunch time, when he really laid a big one right on you. It was just terrible. Last 2 weeks, thanks for nothing, Stafford. And he started to buckle, and then week 9, 10, he had a little bit of a iffy bit. And overall, though, you look at the overall, and guy had a tremendous season. But to your point about Brady, the want to draft Stafford is capped at because he is not running the ball at all. He is statuesque, and we've seen he can go in those spurts where he throws a lot of turnovers. And if he's not giving you 300-plus yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, he's not having a great fantasy day. That's a lot to ask for out of a 17-game schedule for a guy, especially at his age.
Well, I wonder, too, when it comes to the Rams' offense next year, because what we have seen, basically going back to Week 18 to now, is since Cam Akers has been activated, Andy, the Rams' offense has largely not. I don't mean it's run through Cam Akers, because obviously Cooper Kupp is getting the ball, and OBJ has been getting the ball, and Van Jefferson has been getting. You know what I mean? Like the pass catchers are still the pass catchers that we've known the whole season. I'm not saying they're being left in the dust or anything, but Cam Akers has kind of taken almost a stranglehold on that backfield, and I think hey, that's really good news if you're like a keeper owner or a dynasty league owner of Cam Akers, or if you just believed in him after the particularly gruesome injury. And something tells me that even after two fumbles, Sean McVay isn't the coach. He's not the kind of coach who says, "All right, no more Cam Akers." Like, I think we can expect to see a healthy dose of Cam Akers later today, based on all the interviews and media availabilities that McVay has been doing all season long. But or all week long, pardon me. But Cam Akers, I think his presence, I think suggests that maybe the Rams will try and be a little more balanced come next season. And maybe Matthew Stafford, I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but maybe, like you said, if he's not going to be the one running the ball himself, maybe his ceiling is a little lower because they're going to lean on Akers and probably Henderson. And maybe they re-sign Sony Michel. Who knows?
Right. And then you get into a real convoluted committee. So yeah, that backfield is something to track, absolutely. So I had Tom Brady at 11 for mine. I had Matthew Stafford at number 10. Patrick Mahomes I had at number 2 as far as my preseason ranking. So then we go to number 6, show, and that is Aaron Rodgers, and that's as up in the air as any situation, just like it was last year. Yeah. Is he coming back? And that's why we were how much were we pounding the drum to try not to have your fantasy football draft until you know what is happening with Aaron Rodgers, because that has huge ripple effect. Devontae Adams, and now Devontae Adams himself, you have to take into account Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, the running game. So much of the fantasy world revolved around Rodgers that you didn't quite know where to put him, rely on him, depend on him, whatever it might be. I had Aaron Rodgers at my 9 spot, and he finished at number 6. So obviously, MVP type season, and he did, he did what you'd sort of expect out of Aaron Rodgers. He put over 21 fantasy points, and there you go.
Yeah, I had Rodgers at my seventh spot. It's just funny, right? You look at like the rest of these lists, like the rest of the list after Rodgers. So Rodgers is at six, for the 2021 regular season. I kind of expanded it to top 15. So if you look at the top 15, like the, from Rodgers all the way down, you got Rodgers at six, Prescott at seven, Joe Burrow at eight, Jalen Hurts at nine, Kyler Murray kind of slipped because he was injured for a large part of the season, and you know that obviously will affect your standings. But Kyler Murray slipping to 10, Kirk Cousins at 11, Ryan Tannehill at 12.
Those are shocking.
Yeah, I think it's funny, right? Because Ryan Tannehill being that low is shocking, and Kirk Cousins being that high is kind of shocking, right? The other surprises really were Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson not finishing in the top 12 at all. I mean, again, that largely had to do, much like Kyler Murray, largely had to do with injury. They missed, like, I want to say, without looking at it, if I had to guess, they both missed more than half the season. Maybe Russell Wilson missed a little less, but he just played really poorly once he came back from the, like, mallet finger injury, and Lamar Jackson, I think, only played in, like, half the games of the season, right?
So he played in 12 games, Lamar.
Okay, so that it just, I mean, the season felt so long, and then I feel like every week it was like you're playing the game, like, will Lamar play? Will he play?
Yeah.
Will Tyler, should we get Tyler Huntley in there? Who's playing? Right? So I know no tears are being shed by Andy McNamara for Lamar Jackson being so far down the list, but it just goes to show, one injury to any of these guys and your rankings look very, very different. It's funny though, if we just kind of take a general look, Andy, at our lists, like, generally speaking, everyone in the top 12 in some order was in the top 12, right? Like, you had Russell Wilson at 5, Lamar Jackson at 8. I had Lamar and Russell at 5 and 6. So those guys, like, you know, obviously that didn't pan out, but I mean, like, generally speaking, the top 12 quarterbacks were the top 12 quarterbacks from the preseason, right?
It was, and yeah. Boy, you got to listen to Uncle Andy sometimes, kids. Told you, Lamar Jackson keeps tumbling down because the injuries, the style, cannot keep up in the NFL. You're welcome. Jalen Hurts in the top 9. I love Jalen Hurts coming in. I didn't quite know where, and nobody really did, how he was going to go in, because it was sort of that, I don't want to say reluctant, but it didn't seem like Philly was all in on wanting him to be the starting quarterback. But they're like, okay, well, we'll go with it. And certainly there was growing pains. Certainly there's things to watch. But Jalen Hurts, I thought, took a big step. And I love his game. And he uses his legs, don't get me wrong, and he, for a lot of the season, was a fantasy gem. And he tumbled down. He was, you know, top 3-4 fantasy quarterback for the first half of the season. I thought he did make progressions with his arm, and he's so much more than just a running quarterback. That's where people, I think, miss. If he can get another year of development, I'd be pretty confident that we see Jalen Hurts in the top 10, maybe even higher than that, next season. That Kirk Cousins thing, man, like, he just, I don't know. Everybody hates on Kirk Cousins, and look, he can't, in prime time, he has one of the worst records of any, like, I forget what the record was, Joe, but anytime the lights are brightest, Kirk Cousins absolutely folds. Like, disaster. Don't, whatever, ever negative prop bets on Kirk Cousins you're going to have on a primetime game, take him, because he buckles. But the dude produces in regular statistics and fantasy statistics, where you could have got Kirk Cousins, and that guy gave you over 19 fantasy points a game. I don't know if you get a better bargain than that.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, I think, maybe it's the quarterback in Tampa next year, Andy, if Brady doesn't return. I could see that.
Cousins is going to have, they have a new general manager, going to have a new head coach. You know, there's a lot. Like, Kirk Cousins, I don't think, is winning a championship. Can Kirk Cousins be functional enough to make you a competitive team to get into the playoffs? Yes. Depends what, you know, what you want. And because of all the movement, because of all the needs and wants of teams to maybe upgrade or make a change, Kirk Cousins is going to be in extremely high demand, and just like his whole career. And good on him and his agent, because that guy has become filthy rich out of being mediocre. Good. I'm jealous. Good on him. Good on him.
Andy, right? I'd like to just also add, before we get out of here, before we wrap up this first hour, I totally agree with you. Kirk Cousins, good for that guy. Good for you for turning your whatever your career in Washington could have looked like when you were drafted and you were like RG3's backup, right? To now being a Viking and whatever it looks next. Hey, kudos to Kirk Cousins for making millions and millions and millions of dollars. But before we go, I wanted to just point this out to you. First of all, I picked for my sleeper, I picked Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that went completely terribly. Fitzmagic got injured, I think, in like the first series of the first game of the season, and then never played again. So
that was it.
So long to the Harvard graduate, Ryan Fitzpatrick. We hardly knew ye in 2021. Your sleeper was Baker Mayfield. So I just want to
injured second game.
Here's some fun stats for you, Andy. Here's some fun stats. Baker finished at 25. He was the 25th best fantasy quarterback in 2021.
Injured.
He finished below Mac Jones. He finished below Trevor Lawrence. He finished below Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, and Ben Roethlisberger. And I want you to answer me this question. Who do you think had more fantasy points? If you had to guess, who do you think had more fantasy points? Drew Locke in 2020 or Baker Mayfield in 2021?
Oh, I had to be Baker. Gotta be Baker.
Oh, Locked on Lock. Our old pal Drew Lock beat out Baker by 3 points in
Gross.
2020 compared to Baker this past
Gross.
Season.
Baker, Lock wasn't playing. He just stunk. Baker was playing with torn labrum, 4 injuries. You wait. Comeback player of the year. Listen, I also had at my 12, I had Trevor Lawrence. And I just think, Show, we got to give, don't we have to give Trevor Lawrence a mulligan?
I think
with
so.
With that Urban Meyer said, come on. Like, yeah. What's the guy supposed to do? That was the worst. He had to go beg his coach to put the running back in the game. It was absolutely ridiculous. I think we give Trevor Lawrence a mulligan, and we'll have to see how things sort of shake out in Jacksonville, because the guy's been a winner his whole life. I would have to think that if you do some touch-ups, like you don't, it's not a teardown in Jacksonville, right? It's not a, oh, we got to blow it up. You're going to get another super pick. You're going to be able to build more. And if you do things a bit more, I don't know if normal is the right word, just not like Urban Meyer did in the NFL, just less chaos, I would think you'd have to believe that Trevor Lawrence could have a bounce back. I don't think I'm going to put him in my top 12 next year, but if I'm doing 15, would it surprise me to be him just outside of that? That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I don't think that would surprise me either way, because, like you said, I think Trevor Lawrence is really talented, and I think there were some, like, flashes with a very talent-deficient roster that he's, like, really, really good, right? I think, like, put it this way, I think the Jags won, what, 3 games by the end of the season? And those 3 wins, essentially, A, kept the Colts out of the playoffs directly, right? They kept the Dolphins out of the playoffs thanks to tiebreakers. And it actually prevented the Bills from hosting the Chiefs instead of the Chiefs hosting the Bills because of the loss to the Jags-Bills game early in the season. That ended up being one of the biggest, like, considering the Bills won so many games down the stretch, because they lost that in-conference game, that ended up being a big kind of like tiebreaker seeding kind of difference maker, let's say. And maybe they win if that thrilling game from last weekend is played in Orchard Park instead of at Arrowhead, right? So it's great. That's
something.
Urban Meyer's lasting impact on the NFL, Andy. 3 wins and kept a whole bunch of teams out of the playoffs and changed the venue of one of the most exciting games we've seen in years.
How about that? Little how different that could have been, right? The one game. That's why it's like, oh, the one game. They can all have an impact. And that one certainly did. Yeah, Urban Meyer, take a lap, bro. Yeah, take a lap. Yeah, no media. Come back, do college analyst next year, and just kind of chill. And I would just try to stay away, because that was arguably, Show, I think, maybe just from, not just incompetence, because there's been other, obviously, bad coaches come in from the college ranks to NFL and then fail. But, like, the most spectacular, in-your-face media failure of a hype coach coming in. Maybe ever from college to the NFL.
Maybe he'll join Kevin Stefanski's staff next year.
Oof. I don't think the Browns want to pay him that. Herb, take your headaches, take an Advil, have a seat, bro. That's it. You're done.
Agreed.
It's over.
Agreed.
It's over. Let's take the break. When we come back, we're going to start getting into our Fantasy football starts since. We'll look back at our Danger Zone picks from a week ago. People's text line, 590-590, name and location, is open as well as on Twitter. Send your tweets at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. Do you have fantasy football questions, DFS plays? We're going to have our DraftKings Listener League contest put up shortly. If you got fantasy football questions, I want to know predictions for today. Think Bengals, Chiefs, is it going to be Rams, 49ers? Let us know. We'll hit that up when The Fantasy Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide, worldwide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara, that's Show Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. People's text line always open as well, 590-590. Name and location, please. We'll get to our Danger Zone picks. Want to hear yours as well. What's your dangerous pick? What's your bold prediction for Championship Sunday? As we'll find out who's going to the Super Bowl. Are the Rams, Show, going to just stay at home? Or will the 49ers beat them once again, victorious in six straight games against them? Will Kyle Shanahan just put the boots to them one more time and ruin their homecoming? Did you hear it last week? It was that whole weird thing where the Rams were like stopping anybody outside of a certain area code from buying tickets, and then it was open to different markets. And the 49ers fans, it just pissed them off, and now they're coming in droves. Like, that atmosphere is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's the risk you run, right? When you do something like that, I think it's really great. Hey, good for them for doing that. It's not as though San Francisco is that far from Los Angeles, right? So if they want to do that, hey, more power to them. It's funny, right? Like, you were mentioning the matchups. We have four potential Super Bowl matchups, right? We could get Bengals 49ers, which are the rematches of the Super Bowls, I guess, from what, the 80s, when both were won by Joe Montana and the 49ers, and breaking the hearts of Cincinnati fans everywhere, right? We could get a rematch of Chiefs 49ers from a couple of years ago, which Patrick Mahomes got his first Super Bowl ring, and Jimmy G threw the two picks and missed George Kittle deep at the end of the first half. Remember that? And then we get a rematch of Chiefs-Rams, which was that great game. Remember, I think it was at the Coliseum from 2018. It was before the stadium was built, like the current stadium was built. So they were playing like kind of at the, like an older venue at Chiefs Rams. And it was like 54-51 or something like that. And the Rams won. Or we can get Bengals Rams. And I looked it up because I couldn't think of anything interesting about this matchup. Bengals Rams, the Bengals have played each other five times since the year 2000. So not exactly a storied rivalry, Andy.
Right. Yeah, not a whole lot there. Did you know, Show, that the Rams, technically, if they win the Super Bowl, I think the city of Cleveland can claim indirectly part of that title, because the Rams organization began in Cleveland in the 40s and moved when the Browns came in with Paul Brown in 1946. The Rams owner knew Paul Brown. He was super popular high school and college coach, and they joined the AAFC, the rival to the NFL at the time. And the Rams owner's like, nope, they had just won the championship. And they're like, we can't compete with this Paul Brown guy, and moved to Los Angeles. So the Rams began in Cleveland. So indirectly, any Ram championship also belongs to me.
Is that where we're at now? That's how hard up you are?
Yep.
Just claim.
I'm claiming Baltimore Super Bowls and Ram Super Bowls are mine. I'm taking a portion of each.
Good luck, Andy. Good luck to you, pal.
What is your ideal matchup, Show? Like, what if, because you know, like, you're a Pats fan, I'm a Browns fan, we don't have skin in the game, as it were.
Right.
So just from an entertainment standpoint, which Super Bowl matchup would you want most?
It's a good question. I think I would prefer Chiefs Rams, I think, and I know that's just picking like the favorites, essentially, at least as far as the betting favorites go, you're picking the favorites in that sense. But so, okay, maybe that's not a hot take by any means, but I think just to watch Patrick Mahomes and Matthew Stafford, a rejuvenated Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp, and the Chiefs defense is not that great. And how can the Rams contain Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? I think that's the most interesting to me. I wouldn't mind seeing the Bengals get to the Super Bowl because I just think that would be cool. I mean, you know, it was what, 31 years since the Bengals won their first play, like their last playoff game, the most recent playoff game. And then now they're in the conference championship game, could go to the Super Bowl. I think that would be really cool. But I think, generally speaking, I think Chiefs-Rams is my preferred matchup. Imagine if it's Bengals-Rams, that'd be a lot of fun too. But watching Aaron Donald chase around and Von Miller chase around Joe Burrow trying to rip his head off on international television might be a little too hard to watch.
Well, we'd have to see if the behind the line of scrimmage lines and diagrams like we saw last year against Tampa Bay would be the same. It could. Yeah. It could, where he ran, 300 yards behind the line. It was just like, a toddler scribbling the lines of Patrick Mahomes running for his life would be fascinating to see. Like, here's the thing, Show. I think entertainment-wise, you can't go wrong either way out of the AFC with Chiefs-Bengals.
If we're looking
at just from entertainment-wise, can't go wrong because both teams can sling it. I actually think the Bengals might be more interesting entertainment because their defense isn't as good as Kansas City, which means they could get scored on more, which means they'd have to pump up their offense even more. So that might be interesting. I think, again, entertainment-wise, the Rams, if we get the 49ers in their show, I think we're seeing like a 16-13 game, and it's going to stink from entertainment. You know, if you just want to light them up, you put the Rams in. But as a fan, as the Browns fan in me, I can't have OBJ in the Super Bowl. I can't have that.
Oh, baby.
I can't have that. Andy. I can't have Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. I can't have that. So I have to root for Chiefs 49ers. That's what I have to root for.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think it's the best matchup, but I have to root for it.
Yeah, because if it's Bengals Rams, that means you lose either way, right? Oh, either OBJ wins the Super Bowl or the Bengals, one of your rivals, despite, you know, not being quite at the same level, but still one of your rivals wins the Super Bowl. So in just Burrow's second season, right? So
I can't have that.
Yeah, you can't have that at all.
No, I can't have either of those scenarios. But, you know, that's what could be. All right, Joe, should we hit the people's text line and see what's going on?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
And now, your fantasy questions on the people's text line.
As always, 590-590, name and location. And we can give you a little shout-out on the air. This person didn't leave their name, Andy, but they did remind me. I did mistakenly say earlier, I said the Packers basically scored 3 points. That's not true. I know they scored the opening touchdown, but after that, 3 points the rest of the game. But I did say the whole game, so thank you. Kudos to pointing that out. I'd see here another one from I think this is our pal Will in Georgina. He just said, good morning, fellas. Drafting Deebo Samuel gave me an opportunity to watch his evolution to an undisputed fantasy beast. He also commented to say 18 cups of Coke a day lead to victory. So I
that a boy. Well, you know what? I wonder if we see, and I think there's an argument to be made for dual position eligibility for Deebo Samuel next year, like you saw with Cordarrelle Patterson in Yahoo Leagues.
I just got to see them do it more, Andy. They need to do it like a little bit more. Because don't you think that it really only happened in like the second half of the year, right? Like in the first half of the year, it was like they did it every now and again. But in the second half, when Eli Mitchell went down with a concussion and guys had their fingers injured and legs injured and so on, it's then when they started using him a little more. But if they keep doing it, I'm all for dual eligibility.
What a Deebo, 16 touchdowns for Deebo. What a guy. Just tremendous. I loved having him on my team too. $7,200, by the way, on your DraftKings contract.
Where did you get
Deebo Samuel's just a stud.
Where did you get drafted next year, Andy?
Okay, if we're just saying he's staying as a wide receiver, okay, let's keep it like that. I think, now, this depends also on Devontae Adams. Where does he end up, right? There's a lot of moving factors. I think Deebo Samuel's a first-round pick, back-end first-round pick, because, you know, for me anyway, I always put the priority on the running back, and maybe depending if you're mid to last, you get that tight end in there potentially. I think you got to consider Deebo Samuel a first-round pick, and look what he was able to do with inconsistent, like in and out of the lineup quarterback play from Jimmy Garoppolo's injuries, a little bit of Trey Lance, right? So that's not even in an ideal situation with a stable quarterback. you put some stability with him, potentially, whether that's Trey Lance or they run it back with Jimmy G, which I don't think will happen. We could be talking about maybe something even better for Deebo Samuel, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing, how/what he looks like. Because, yeah, I do agree. I think he's such a dynamic talent, and he is so much fun to watch. Like, if the 49ers make the Super Bowl, all eyes, I think, like, rightly so, should be on Deebo, because he is so, so, so talented. Will also says, Jimmy G, 300-plus yards passing today. So there you go. A big, a lot of faith in Jimmy Garoppolo. We got another text here. This is kind of like a betting question, but still, I'm gonna bring it out anyways. He says, "Fresh picks of the Real Fresh Channel on YouTube." He says, "Hoping for Bengals Rams. I'm thinking KC Rams. I did bet Bengals +7. That made my card." You know what? I'll say this, man. I think the line on one of the various websites, I think it was Sports Interaction, had jumped up to. Bengals 7.5. I admit, even though I think the Chiefs will win, I took the Bengals to cover at the very least.
That's what I'm thinking too, Joe. I'm thinking Bengals cover that 7. I think it's closer. So, under 7 points, especially 7.5, I would jump on that. The Rams at 3.5 with 49ers. If you take the 3-point sort of just advantage going to the home team, show that pretty much makes it a pick 'em. And
yeah, exactly.
If you have those 49ers fans invading and it's a loud atmosphere or it's mixed, you take away any home field advantage, really. It's not like travel's an issue, same time zone. 49ers have their number. That one, I think, is going to be the lower the scoring it is, the better it is for the 49ers. Like, I'm seeing it this way, Joe. If the Rams don't get 24 points, I think they lose that game. I think you got to hit that for the Rams. You got to make them, you have to make San Francisco get out of their comfort zone and make Jimmy G throw the ball. You do that, you force them to, you got a great chance of winning. If not, Kyle Shanahan will do whatever, running, short pass, tosses, whatever, to win that game. So I think the Rams have got to strike early and often to try to get in on that.
I do think that the matchup is, like, in terms of just, offensive line, defensive line, running backs versus defensive lines, all the various matchups you think of when you think of fantasy or betting or what have you. I think a lot of the matchups, in my opinion, favor San Francisco, but it is still so hard to pick against the Rams, I freely admit. You want to get to one more text, and then we can look back to our Danger Zone picks from last week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do one more. I like this one. This one is from our guy Dan in Brampton. He says, "Good morning, gentlemen. Since you are going over your preseason rankings, I'm wondering this is good for today. We protect 3 players in our pool. I protected Josh Allen last year. I'm going to do it again this year. I think QBs are worth protecting. I also have Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, Cooper Kupp, and Ja'Marr Chase." Fantastic pool of players to pick from, right?
Wow.
He did say, "I don't like the quarterback situation in New Orleans this year, so I think Kamara is out. But as for Eckler, Kupp, and Chase, I have to protect 2 of those 3 because he's already protecting Josh Allen, right? So what do you think? Who do you take, Andy, as your keeper for next year?" He's taking Allen, so you get to pick between... He doesn't say, like, what the... like, a lot of leagues do it differently.
Format,
like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, what it costs to protect a player. But generally speaking, Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp, and Ja'Marr Chase, you have to leave one of those guys out, essentially.
Yeah, I'm with him on leaving Kamara out, for sure. So that means I have to cut one more, right? If I'm taking Kamara out.
Cut one more of Eckler, Kupp, Chase.
Oh, I'm just... I think you have to give the advantage to Eckler in some capacity, show, because we talk about it how often. You just have to take advantage of any true RB1. And Eckler is right there for that. Even with the Rams situation next year, Akers looks like an RB1, but you could throw in Henderson, Michelle. Like, there's a whole bunch of different scenarios. So I think Eckler's going to make it. That means I got to cut one of Kupp and Chase, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to cut Cooper Kupp.
Really?
Yep. And I'm going to do it. Because I don't know this league format. If I'm a Cooper Kupp owner, and depending on when trades and how your league works, I'd try to trade him. Is that possible in your league? I don't know. If it's not, then I feel we've seen, and it's tough to top, obviously, and you can he could go hundreds of yards less and still be have a tremendous season. But it just feels to me like maybe we've reached that. Like you're not going to get any higher for Cooper Kupp. I still feel with Ja'Marr Chase going into year two. Boy, like look what he did year one. What's year two when wide receivers typically take their biggest step forward? I would have to say Ja'Marr Chase and Eckler because of the scarcity when it comes to true RB1. So I would say you leave Cooper Kupp.
It's a hot take. I like it,
hot
though.
Hot take.
Yeah, I do.
Gotta
like it.
Gotta be bold,
I,
baby.
Danger zone, right?
Danger zone.
I do like the Eckler pick. I agree on the Kamara thing that just with the uncertainty, maybe you want to just leave. Hey, he probably is going to be very good next year. Don't get me wrong. It's just with the uncertainty, maybe fantasy-wise, you can probably get a more, you know, more viable option. But yeah, Eckler, I'll probably stick with Kupp because, like you said, I think even if he gets 500 yards less and he gets, let's say, 5 touchdowns less, he's still getting double-digit touchdowns and still like 1,400 yards, right? So
that's
like
wild.
That would still make him one of the best wide receivers in the league. So I'm going to, it's for that reason that I'm going with Kupp. But I mean, if you're going to go with Chase, I don't think you can quibble too much. I think I will say maybe one thing that does make me lean more towards Kupp is that with Chase, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd always kind of around, right? Like there's, like there, it's not that Chase is going to be bad. It's just that having those guys does sometimes feel like, you know, if there's a T. Higgins game or a Boyd game or a Joe Mixon game, it could maybe take away a little bit from Ja'Marr Chase. But hey, if you end up going with Chase, you're fine. You're in great hands.
Yeah, I don't think you're in too tough a spot. And that comes with, you know, how much it pains me to pick inside with any Bengals, Steelers, or Ravens player show. So that just shows again, you know, you sort of take those odds and you up at that those odds where it's like they give 3-point advantage to the home team. I tried to go against those teams, but I got to give it. I got to give it to Chase. All right. So that's the people's text line. Any more questions, pop them in, 590-590. Name and location. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. So, show, what were our danger zone picks from last week? Because I honestly, as soon as the show ends, I pretty much forget what I say. I don't even really remember. What. There's a lot going on. So it's out of my mind. I don't remember. I hope I did correct.
For a bit of a peek behind the curtain, Andy and I will discuss on like Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be like, "Hey, what do you want to get to on Sunday?" And we'll be like, "All right, why don't we table this, and this?" And then on like Saturday night, I'll be like, "Hey, Andy, you still want to do this thing?" And he's like, "Oh, what a great idea!
Yeah, that's a great idea!
Wow, I can't believe we never thought of that before."
It's like, look at your messages. It's like, yeah.
Oh, so. Heavens! No, okay. Let's look back to our. I guess it was really just for Sunday because obviously, like the Saturday divisional games have already happened. So these are our picks for Sunday's divisional games. Let's start with Andy's danger zone pick from last weekend.
Devin Singletary will lead all teams in rushing yards and score a touchdown. Danger zone.
All right, so there you go, Devin Singletary, Andy. That was your pick from last week, and you know what? It wasn't a bad pick, but because that game turned into a shootout, he just didn't have that many rushing yards. He did score a touchdown, but he had 26. I think he had 26 yards or something like that on the ground.
On 10 carries.
On 10. I think that actually, funnily enough, the leading rushers from that game alone were Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, both of them. I think it was Mahomes had 69 yards. Nice. And Josh Allen had 68 yards. So there you go.
Had 68. Yeah. And you know what? Singletary got that. And boy, you know what? Let's get to your Danger Zone pick, show.
My danger zone pick, I'll stick with the Bills as well. Gabriel Davis will be the highest scoring wide receiver in that game. So he'll have more points than Diggs. He'll have more points than Hill. He'll have more points than any other guy with a wide receiver designation. Danger zone, Gabriel Davis. Boy, I'm not always right, Andy, but boy, like eight catches, 201 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like I'll say this, it's hard to be wrong when you pick a guy who has 4 touchdowns in a single game.
who set a playoff touchdown receiving record. Jerry Rice, get out of here. No. Anybody else? Randy Moss, not interested. Anybody else in NFL history did not match Gabriel Davis? That is going to be a great trivia question years down the road, Joe, when people are allowed to have trivia nights at bars again. And it'll be, who scored the most? I'll be like, oh, this guy. Nope. The answer is Gabriel freaking Davis. Like, show, this is the equivalent of you two Shaq style, two-handed slam dunk and the glass shattering on the backboard and just spraying everywhere. How correct you were on that.
It's great. That means that essentially means that I'm now 2-0 with the 2-20, I guess, on the season, given how many picks we make on a regular basis. But hey, I'll take it.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, we'll have to see what show's danger zone pick is today. I will be making sure to pay attention because that was a Gabriel. That's the thing for Bills fans. I try to put it out there. Look, there's. In life, show, if you are prepared, if you do the best you can, you know in your heart of hearts you've done everything. There's nothing else you could have done to do better, and you still lose. There's nothing else. You can't feel bad about it. That's why I feel with the Buffalo offense. There is nothing else you could have done at all. There's nothing you could have done to have a better outcome. You had 4 touchdowns, Gabriel Davis. What else could you have done? Nothing. Yeah. Josh Allen, perfect. And you still lost. That's it.
Yeah. Look, I think if you blame anyone, I think most people have settled on this. You're kind of blaming maybe some of the coaching decisions, like not skying / squibbing the ball, or you know the way that they defended Kelce and Hill in those 13 seconds, or maybe not going for 2 on the final touchdown to Gavis. Right. I think you can quibble with those things, but I don't think you can quibble with the actual play of the players when it comes to Josh Allen.
No.
And Gabriel Davis and so on, because they were just phenomenal, right? They were absolutely great. I do wonder, I guess we'll hit the break and we'll do our DFS picks in the next segment, but let me ask you this, Andy. We've been discussing where certain guys will get drafted. I asked you where Deebo Samuel gets drafted. If Gabriel Davis goes into the season next year as Buffalo's WR2, obviously behind Diggs, and with Dawson Knox on that offense, and knowing just how explosive the Buffalo offense is, where would you feel comfortable taking Gabriel Davis in a redraft league?
Because you have to think Cole Beasley's probably gone. Emmanuel Sanders, I'm not sure if Sanders' contract, if he's there for 2 years or if he could be gone as well.
I think he's a free agent too. But either way, I think they could always move on from him if they wanted to, right?
Yeah, he had a great start. He was out fantasy pointing Stephon Diggs for the first part of the year.
Yeah.
And then he totally faded away. So if we put him at the 2, and you got Knox there, I don't want to reach for him either, show, but it is a pass-heavy offense, right? So I would say if you don't bring in anybody else and you have him slotted in as your true second wide receiver option, sort of tied with Knox, I'd be looking probably earliest 3rd round for Gabriel Davis to me.
Okay. Well,
want to still reach on him a bit more. I don't want to have – I think some people will because that's the last image you have of him catching 4 touchdowns. But the third – end-ish of the 3rd round is probably where I'd start to look at him.
Well, because I just wonder if this will now become, to a degree, I mean, I know going into the season, we talked so much about Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and obviously Robert Woods got injured, so that ended up being a moot point. But the Kupp-Woods tandem, or maybe also, to a lesser degree, the Metcalf-Lockett tandem in Seattle, right? So I wonder if the Diggs-Davis tandem could be maybe not like on par with those guys, but just given their talent, I could see there being enough ball to go around fantasy-wise, at the very least, for both Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis next year. I think I would I might wait a little longer. I might take him. Like, I probably wouldn't take him in the 3rd round just because of, like, you never know what those kinds of things. But if he was still there in like the 5th or 6th round, I might take a chance. But you're probably right in that somebody with their lasting image being the 200-yard 4 touchdown game will probably like reach up for him more than likely.
Yeah, like I personally would wait. I'm in your mindset. I'd wait to the more of those mid rounds, probably 5-ish. But I'm just thinking in general where I see him going. Is that reach of like, okay. And there's certainly upside to it for sure. Like if there's the clear hierarchy and he is that, and they're like, yeah, we're not bringing in another, Emmanuel Sanders type and he's our guy. I could see him having a tremendous year, but it still seems like you might be on a little bit of a boom or bust roller coaster when it comes to Gabriel Davis, but certainly history making performance there. All right, folks, we can take the break. When we come back, we're going to give you our DFS start sits for 49ers versus Rams, Bengals versus Chiefs. We'll send out the link as well to our DraftKings Listener League contest. If you're not on Twitter, No problem. Just text in 590-590. We will send you the link to our Listener League contest, give you our total DFS lineups and our Danger Zone picks when the Fantasy Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back to the Championship Sunday edition of the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. AFC and NFC Championship games. Winners go to the Super Bowl. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. People's text line as well, 590-590. Name and location we will send out on Twitter. And if you request it on the text line as well, our DraftKings Listener League contest. We'll give our DFS picks in just a couple of moments. Also, hey, who do you think's going to win these things today? Who's going? What matchup do you want to see? What's going to be the most exciting one for you when it comes to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles in 2 weeks' time? All right, Joe, let's begin with 49ers and Rams. And we'll go through both those games and build our DFS lineup as well as our Danger Zone picks. You can send those into your bold predictions. When we look at 49ers-Rams show, I have to say, I'm going to avoid Jimmy Garoppolo. I know there's always the chance of a contrarian play, and our buddy Will gave a hot take if he thought, what was it, show over 300 yards or something like that for Jimmy G?
Yeah, 300 plus yards passing for Jimmy G.
Listen, and you know what? If you look, when they played in week 18, Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 316 yards. Mm-hmm. So it has been done, but I think it's safe to say when the 49ers are at their best, Jimmy Garoppolo is not throwing in the 300 yards area.
Yeah, exactly. He is handing the ball off, or at the very least, he's just making the quick, smart throws to the Samuels, yes, the Kittles, maybe even the Brandon Ayuks of the world, right? Like, that's what I think you can expect, especially if the Von Millers and Aaron Donald certainly are penetrating that offensive line. So I think we're going to have to – that's what I look at today. But, yeah, I think you're right. $5,400 for Jimmy G, I'm going to pass on that. I mean, maybe if you're loading up elsewhere on your DraftKings lineup and you're loading up with Cooper Kupp and you're loading up with Elijah Mitchell and Debo Samuel and all of the, you know, Travis Kelce and so on, if you're loading up with all of those options, then maybe you'll have to go with Jimmy G. But I don't know. I would prefer not to today. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think the smarter play is Matthew Stafford, obviously, just from the fact that it is a more pass-heavy offense. Although, personally, on my DFS slate, I'm going to avoid Stafford as well as the second or third most expensive quarterback. When we look at the running back position, you obviously look at Eli Mitchell. But, Joe, I'm wondering, at $5,900 DraftKings dollars, and you look at how Debo Samuel's used in the backfield as well, and you look at the fantasy point production over the last 3 weeks, 8.5 points, 15.5 points, 10.1 fantasy points in the win over Green Bay. While Eli Mitchell is a fine player and isn't the worst pick, I'm just wondering if maybe I'm looking more so at a Cam Akers at $900 less, at $5,000, and can probably look at similar production, if not more so, from Cam Akers as he has yet another game back from that injury.
I do know that I know the 49ers rush defense is one of the better rush defenses, mm-hmm, like still remaining in the playoffs. So, like, and they did a pretty good job holding Aaron Jones and company. I know AJ Dillon had the injury and so on, but they held the Packers run game just last weekend to, I think it was, what was it, like less than 100 yards, less than 80 yards or something like that. So they're a very good rush defensive unit. And, you know, maybe some people might have some question marks on Cam Akers, especially after he fumbled the ball twice, which almost led Brady to another heroic, yeah, comeback. But I like I said to you off the top of the show, I think Cam Akers, based on everything we have seen and heard from Sean McVay this past week of practice as they lead up to today's game, it just seems that McVay still has the utmost confidence in the young guy. So I don't mind it. I think I'm going to get Cam Akers at $5,000 too. Like, that's not a bad price tag for someone who is probably going to get the ball a lot, right? Like, he's probably going to carry the ball like 15 times today. And you know, if they're within the 5-yard line, like, certainly they're going to throw the ball to Cooper Kupp in the end zone like a couple of times. But the other thing that will happen is that Cam Akers is going to be asked to punch it in, right? So I'm getting Cam Akers into my lineup today. I'll put it that way. $5,000, yeah, I'm putting him in there.
Yeah, I think you have to go that way. Now, wide receiver Debo Samuel and Cooper Kupp are the 1-2. Now, you're going to pay for him, of course. Cooper Kupp, $8,800. Is he worth it? Yes. Debo Samuel, $7,200. Is he worth it? Yes. Out of the two, though, depending on how you're spending in your DraftKings lineup show, Cooper Kupp eats up a lot, and you know he's going to be super popular. So that's always the balance, right? You want to have those high-producing players to a point because they're going to get you a lot of points. But if everybody has Cooper Kupp, then it doesn't do you any good to a certain degree. So there's that balance of, do I take a guy who is averaging 28 fantasy points on the year, who went for 35.3 last week? Like, stop. It's crazy. Or do I say, all right, if I have to pick between the two, do I go Debo Samuel, who is not $8,800, $7,200? It was also pretty damn good. I personally would go Debo Samuel based solely on the savings that I can then not have to really skimp and get just a guy who's barely going to play in my flex spot because I spent so much on Cooper Kupp.
I think that's a valid strategy, right? I think you're right also to point out that at $8,800, that's reflective of the fact that everyone is going to have Cooper Kupp in their lineup. I you know what? I still am going to get him in there just as the backbone. Obviously, it means that if Cooper Kupp has even just a mediocre game compared to Debo or compared to, I would say, the other top option being Ja'Marr Chase, or I guess Tyreek Hill also is a potential option there too from the other game. But like if you don't put him in, or if you do put him in your lineup and he doesn't have a great game, then you're kind of screwed, obviously, right? But I, at the same time, I'm getting him in there just because I do believe – like Matthew Stafford, almost to his detriment, throws Cooper Kupp the ball, right? So I'm gonna get Kupp in there at $8,800. Although for the rest of the pass catchers for either of these two teams, I mean San Francisco, for example, are you really putting in, like, how much are you really gonna trust Brandon Ayuk or like Jawan Jennings, right? Like, I guess for $5,000 you could put Ayuk in there. The only other two pass catchers I would feel really comfortable in are definitely OBJ, $5,100. I mean, he's emerged as a solid number two option, much to your dismay, Andy. Solid number two. He's no longer the 2014 OBJ, but at $5,100, it's not a bad play, honestly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to avoid OBJ. Just don't take my advice on OBJ today, folks. I'm not going to do it. I will lose a fantasy contest, a DFS contest, and not play OBJ. That's how demented I am. So on that one, do not take my advice on OBJ. I'm not seeing clearly. I will be biased to a fault. Can't stand him. You know what? The same. If the Rams lose today, I might do the same thing I did to Ben Roethlisberger when they got eliminated to show. Double birds. Bleep. You know, and just have a sip, and that's it.
Man.
So if I know tight ends, when we, this is interesting, because George Kittle, we know what the man can do. He can be a absolute game wrecker. However, we have not seen George Kittle get into double-digit fantasy points since week 15. Now, except for last week when he got 10 against Green Bay. But we have had significant duds for the previous month, including when they played the Rams in week 18, he had 6 fantasy points. Now, when they played in week 10, he had 16. It's a bit of a risk. However, if you're looking between the two, George Kittle at $5,000 or Tyler Higbee, who, while we say it's bizarre, he's on the field all the time and rarely delivers. I would much rather take the chance with George Kittle at 5K than even Tyler Higbee at 3,700.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? Because if you look at the other game, if you look at the KC Cincinnati game, Kelsey is $6,500 and CJ Uzoma is $3,400. So, like, do you really want to, like, who'd you rather have of the non-Kelsey players? Because $6,500 admittedly is a decent price tag. So of those, like, if you're Xing out Kelsey, Higbee at $3,700, Uzoma at $3,400, or Kelsey at $5,000, I think I would rather take the chance with Kelsey because we all know he has at least the potential to be a game wrecker, right? Like, he could just do some nasty things. I have a feeling too, his stat line, he had a pretty bad drop, which looked like, I don't know if he lost concentration or focus or whatever. They won the game anyway, so, you know, all's well that ends well, I suppose. But Kittle, he dropped that pass, and if he hadn't, he probably would have gone for another 30 yards or so, right? So his stat line would have probably looked a little more generous last weekend if he had not dropped that pass. So, you can't count on that to happen or to not happen again week over week. But mm-hmm. I think $5,000 for a guy who has been so good since coming back from injury. I know it's been a little iffy in the last couple of weeks, but I mean, are you thinking that beyond Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel, the 49ers offense is going to rely on Kittle or Ayuk? You know, I think I'll take my chances with Kittle.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Like you said, Ayuk could pop, but Kittle, at least you know, right? You go with just back to the fantasy playoff strategy show. Go down with your stars, right? I would rather say, okay, I believe Kittle has the better upside and get burned by some third-party guy who comes in and, you know, and you're like, well, okay, at least I went down with the stars. All right. So we got through the tight ends there. Good. Okay, so we got 49ers and Rams covered. Let's go to Bengals, Kansas City. This is where really I think the juicy fantasy meat on the bone is here, show, because we look. Okay, Patrick Mahomes, $7,400 for your DraftKings lineup. Obviously, Pat Mahomes can be amazing. Over 40 fantasy points the last 2 weeks. And at the end of the regular season, 26. And when they played Cincinnati in week 17, had 20.86 fantasy points, 9 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Compare that to Joe Burrow, $6,600. So that's a pretty significant saving at quarterback. And we're looking at Joey B, who threw for just under 38 fantasy points, 446 yards through the air, and 4 touchdowns versus Kansas City in week 17. However, showing the playoffs the last 2 weeks, he hasn't hit 18 fantasy points. Where are you at with Joey B v. Patrick Mahomes for that salary price, $6,600 for Joey versus for Pat? 74.
I think I'm putting Joe Burrow in my lineup today because certainly the price savings, I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be picking either Mahomes or Burrow. I think like the contrarian quarterback play would be to go with either Stafford or Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I feel like for Joe Burrow, you know, it may not be quite the result that came back in week 17, but I do think the Chiefs secondary, they're just, I don't know, like in the last little while, their pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, is super low. It's like in the 20s or something like that, right? So, especially when you have a healthy Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins had been, I think, limited in practice in the first couple of days, and then since Wednesday through to the rest of the week, he was a full participant, and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon. I just feel like Burrow has so many weapons at his disposal to pick apart that KC defense, which is just okay. I think mm-hmm. I'll be okay with taking Burrow, especially because of the savings, which essentially lets me get a whole bunch of other guys in there as well.
It does. And the fact if you go back and forth, is there going to be that big of a difference if this is the shootout we're hoping for?
Yeah.
Probably not. So you take the savings. Now let's go to running back. Joe Mixon, as Macho, the late great Macho Man would say, cream of the crop. That's your running back stud for this of any slate. Right? He's the true RB1. There's no committee. Joe Mixon's getting the football. If they're running the ball in Cincinnati, which is not a guarantee, but if you're doing that, he's getting the football. He's also catching it a bit too. 6-4, 7-6 in his last 4 games when it comes to reception. So you mix that into as well. Joe Mixon at $6,800 is the clear choice where you go to Kansas City show and it's like, all right, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. He's $5,300, but is he giving you the production over, let's say, a Jerick McKinnon who's kind of come out of nowhere off the practice squad the last few weeks and has actually gotten you more fantasy points over the last 3 games for $200 less? If I'm looking at just Kansas City for a moment, I'm going to put in Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, you're right. I've been doing the X Factors piece for Sportsnet.ca. Jerick McKinnon made it onto my X Factors piece for the Chiefs. Here's a fun stat for you, which might make people feel better about putting him in your lineup. Last week, McKinnon played 53 snaps. Clyde Edwards-Helaire played 23. Now, it's possible after being worked back into the game plan, he gets a little more carries, which I think is valid. CEH had 60 yards rushing versus 24 yards rushing for McKinnon. But even if CEH gets more work in the run game, game. McKinnon, I think he's always being included on passing downs. The Bengals allowed the fifth most receptions and the sixth most receiving yards to running backs in the regular season. And Patrick Mahomes has thrown the ball over the last 2 weeks alone 83 times, Andy. 83 times! Oof. Like, we know he likes to throw the ball, but that's a lot, right? So at $5,100, McKinnon is one of my favorite plays, and he is getting into my lineup for sure. Him and Cam Akers, they're my two running backs this week.
Yeah, McKinnon, we love. Then we go to the wide receivers, and again, oh, yes, there's a lot to work with here. Now, where do you go, right? Where do you go? Let's start with the top dogs. Jamar Chase, $6,700. Tyreek Hill, $7,000. Tyreek Hill has had a roller coaster season from fantasy production-wise. Now, last week, tremendous. 34.8 fantasy points, 150 yards. Week before that against Pittsburgh, went for just under 17 fantasy points. Got the touchdown, but 57 yards. Before that, it was Denver. And he's just been, his last big week prior to those two playoff games was week 15. And then just a lot of up and downs is my point. Whereas, if I'm looking at Jamar Chase, I'm looking at a savings. I'm looking at a absolute monster stud who just breathes 100-plus yard games. I think if I have to pick between the two as a head-to-head, I'll go Jamar Chase over Tyreek Hill. I'll save some money, and I'm probably going to get more fantasy points today.
I'll add in, just because we're short on time, I'll add in T. Higgins as well. Higgins had, at $5,700 this week, last week against the Titans, he had 9 targets, which actually led the team. He led the team in targets last week, more than Chase, more than anyone else. He had 7 catches for 96 yards. He had just 14 games in the regular season, Andy, because remember he missed some time at the very beginning of the year. Yes. And Tyler Boyd was very good in those in his absence. But in just 14 regular season games, he had 6 touchdowns, 74 catches, and over 1,000 receiving yards. So ooh. I think that is very impressive. He is so, so good. Maybe Higgins over Chase, if not just for savings, but if you want to just, you know, in terms of who's playing who and general high-owned options and so on, maybe you want to go with Higgins. But, I mean, I think Chase is fine, too. I'm not disagreeing. But, again, Chiefs pass defense in the 20s in the pass DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. I really do think at his price point, I like Higgins as, like, a complimentary option. Hey, and as we've seen multiple times this year, there is if you have Chase in your lineup, it's not like a done deal that you shouldn't have another KC or another Bengals receiver, because no. Those guys have coexisted basically all season long.
Well, and Tyler Boyd, I think at $4,200 is a decent flex, depending how much money you have left over for your DraftKings contest. I think that's pretty good. I like Byron Pringle as well. Show $4,300, and since week 16, the guy has been really good. In your fantasy lineup, check out these fantasy point totals. 25.5 points, 6.5, 10.6, 20.7, 13.9 for $4,300. That's a nice, I have him as my WR3 in my DraftKings lineup here. I think that's a nice complimentary piece, and you can slide him right in. I believe it's a short conversation when it comes to tight end. You're not going with Uzomah, you're going with Travis Kelce if you're picking any of the two in a showdown type format.
Yeah, agreed. I don't totally agree. So, Andy, so we've kind of, and I get when it comes to tight end, Travis Kelce is the guy. Do you want to give me your full lineup from
yes.
QB all the way to DST?
Right.
I'll do the same.
Okay, here we go. And this leaves me $300 extra. So,
okay,
quarterback Joe Burrow at $6,600. I'm going to stack Joe Mixon at $6,800. I'm then going Jerick McKinnon of the Chiefs at $5,100 for the points that we talked about. I'll go to San Francisco. Debo Samuel, wide receiver, $7,200. Pricey, but I love him. Jamar Chase right under him. Pringle, like I said, with Kansas City back, $4,300. A nice slide in. He's been producing lately. Travis Kelce is the top tight end. 49ers defense. Because it's cheap and I need to slide it. And show, I did a bit of a pivot, a bit of an Omaha at the end. Not George Kittle. I'm going to go Tyler Higbee because the two games ooh. He's played against San Francisco this year, he's hit one game in the 20s fantasy points and one game in the mid-teens. And those are two of his better games this year. So I'm going to say Higbee, especially with Van Jefferson banged up. I'll take a chance. $3,700. It's a bit risky, but I'll go Higbee.
So Higbee is your flex with Kelce.
Higbee's my flex with Kelce,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So my lineup, we have a couple of the same guys here. I go Burrow for my QB as well at $6,600. My two running backs are Jerick McKinnon at $5,100, Cam Akers at $5,000. My three wide receivers, I got a fourth wide receiver in the flex, but my three wide receivers, Cooper Kupp at $8,800, Ja'Marr Chase at $6,700, and T. Higgins at $5,700. Kittle, we mentioned him already, $5,000 in my tight end spot. And I went with Van Jefferson. He is questionable. Okay. Van Jefferson questionable, but I think he was trending towards playing. So, I mean, I guess I could always swap that out if we get some news before kickoff at 3. But Van Jefferson, $3,900. He's been a little more of an afterthought lately because OBJ has risen a little bit, but still, he still gets some burn there. So if he plays, I'm going to get Van Jefferson in there. And then just to round things out, the Rams defense. Hoping for a pick or two from Jimmy G today, Andy.
let's see what happens there. All right, let's finish with the Danger Zone.
Welcome to Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
As are we. All right, my Danger Zone pick show. I'm saying Deebo Samuel gets the most fantasy points of any non-quarterback in any of the games today, amongst any team, any players, not a quarterback. Deebo Samuel, most fantasy points. Danger Zone.
I like it, Andy. Deebo Samuel, always fun to watch. I'm going to go with another wide receiver, T. Higgins. Love me some T. Higgins, my X Factor on sportsnet.ca. More points. I'll go with your angle on it. He'll have more points than any non-QB on Sunday. T. Higgins,
whoa.
Andy. Danger zone.
Well, if you called Gabriel Davis last week, Joe, so who am I to choose against you? Oof. We will see, folks. You can send it to us on Twitter at AndyMC81 at SNSLE at The Fantasy Show. We'll continue our position look backs next week from ranking some look aheads and where it all might line up. Enjoy the games today. For Dutch, for Show, I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.